broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the red garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Hello friend, welcome to worship today. Here in Qualicum Beach, it is a stunning autumn day, fall day, but it feels a lot like winter. It seems to be coming quickly. You are most welcome here. We are delighted that you can join us for worship. Today, you are going to hear a lot about creation and our stewardship of creation, God's wondrous works in creation. Let's worship together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. God has given us this beautiful earth, all that grows, all that lives upon it. Thanks be to God. God has given us breath to live and spirit to sing. Thanks be to God. God has gathered us into a community of care and worship. Let us worship God with love, thanksgiving, and praise. If you usually light a candle for worship, or you want to start today, let us praise the living God, his Son Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us and our salvation. Let's pray together. O divine voice, you sing and the universe comes into being. O divine breath, you breathe and all things spring to life. O divine word, you call and creation is sustained. O divine flesh, you are born among us and the Creator is clothed in creation. O divine spirit, you fill all that has been formed. O divine life, you are the pulse of all that is. And so in amazement and awe, in wonder and celebration, we marvel at this mystery. In you all things live and move and have being. In all things you live and move and express your divine artistry. And so we join with creation in the eternal song of worship and wonder. Alleluia. Amen. Let's say the prayer of confession together. God of endless mercy, we have often been swallowed up by our greed and selfishness, desiring that which we do not have, filling our lives with things that do not save us. We have often been swept away by the floods of our own making, polluting your creation, neglecting to be faithful stewards of the earth. We have often attacked one another and led lives of violence, sending missiles instead of accepting refugees, ignoring your commandments. Lord, have mercy, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Christ, have mercy, for we are broken and need your salvation. Lord, have mercy upon us and hear us as we pray in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. Humbly repent and you are forgiven. For the Lord makes a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The Lord is making all things new. In Scripture, we hear this incredible promise, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will I forgive their sin and heal their land. Friends, the grace that God shows us extends far, far further than we can possibly imagine. It is a grace that brings life. Life to us and life to this world. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Today we are exploring together our relationship with creation and what our faith has to say about that relationship. How creation fits in our understanding of the world, our understanding of God, and our understanding of our place in all of that. And so I thought today, before we hear a sermon that will be about that, it would be good to say together an affirmation of faith that speaks to these things. So will you join me in saying that now? We believe in God the Creator, who created and is creating everything. The universe, the world, the plants and animals, and us. Each of us unique, individual, and beloved of God. We believe in God the Christ, who saved and is saving everything. The universe, the world, the plants and animals, and us. Each of us unique, individual, and beloved of the Christ. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who guided and is guiding everything. The universe, the world, the plants and animals, and us. Each of us unique, individual, and beloved of the Spirit. We believe that this one God in three persons is present among us, working directly in our lives and the lives of all who are born into this world, striving to bring us back into harmony with all creation and with God, forgiving, healing, touching everyone, never rejecting any who willingly receive this freely offered gift of love and grace and eternal life.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, reading verses 15 through 20. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lots of you know my story. You know that I truly believe that God actually called me to the theological school that I attended and called me to go there at the time that I did. My years at Cary were rich. Some of our professors were people who had a lifetime of experience in both the academic world and in the church. And we, their students, were so blessed by their willingness to share what they had learned over their lives with us. One of my professors was Dr. Jonathan Wilson. Jonathan was my theology prof, and he was probably the most rigorous teacher I have ever had. He is a respected theologian, known and loved by many across the church, and he was determined to shape his students not just into good pastors, but also into good theologians. Now, whether he was able to make me a good theologian or not, you get to be the judge of that. But I do know that Jonathan left me with much, including one of the most enduring lessons that I have taken away from my time at Cary. Jonathan was determined to have us understand that God's creative work is ongoing, that it didn't stop on that sixth day of our creation story, and that creation is ongoing, and even more, that it is a part of the saving work that God is doing through Christ. Jonathan urged us all to understand and to teach that God isn't just redeeming humans. He's also somehow redeeming the rest of his good creation as well. Jonathan is so keenly aware that somewhere along the line, the church has managed to disconnect our beliefs about creation and redemption. And he clearly sees the danger in that error and has heard God calling him to prepare those of us who teach in the church for the vitally important work of reconciling those beliefs, reconnecting them, and revealing creation's central place in God's great story of redemption. Now, we talk here all the time about the restoring and renewing work that God is doing. And, you know, as I write those sermons and liturgies, I often hear Jonathan's voice in my head and my heart saying, "Diane, make sure they understand that God's redeeming creation too." As Jonathan taught me, it was never God's intention for us to separate those two critical parts of our faith, creation and redemption. And so reconnecting them is important and godly work. Work that will bear critical good fruit, not just in the church, but in the whole world, a world that needs it. So what do I mean by all of that? Well, to explain it, let's just take a moment to go back to the story of the fall that we hear about near the beginning of Genesis. We all know that age-old story. God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the serpent tempted them to do it anyway, and so they did. Now, when that happened, we know that everything went awry, and I mean everything. When you read that story, you actually can see that prior to the fall, life consisted of four relationships that were present and were meant to exist in harmony and love. That was what life was about. There's the primary relationship between us and God, primary because the state of that relationship actually affects all the others. And then there's the relationships we have with each other, the relationship that we have with ourselves, our ability to love ourselves rightly, and finally, the relationship that we were meant to have with the rest of creation. Now, as we know from the story of the fall and from the evidence that's around us every day, all four of those relationships have been tragically marred, including that mutually blessing relationship God always dreamed for us to have with the earth. We were meant to love and care for creation. You'll remember from the creation story that God actually charged us with doing that. But our relationship with this earth has been less than the harmonious ideal that God intended. In many ways, humans have abandoned our call to care for and steward the rest of creation. Instead, we've twisted God's charge to us into a belief that the earth is actually ours to use for our own purposes, and somehow a belief that the material things of this world don't really matter in the long run. Well, a bunch of that very mistaken thinking is the fault of people like me, preachers and teachers who have neglected or misinterpreted passages like this one that we've just heard today. This reading and many other parts of our scriptures clearly show that God's care and concern is for all of his creation, and that God plans for his redemptive work to extend to all things, not just to us, we self-obsessed humans. Our reading today is actually believed to be a very early Christian hymn. It's all about Christ and his role in God's great story. It proclaims the reign of Christ throughout the whole world, and it describes three ways that Christ our King is bringing life to all things. First, it sings of Christ's participation in creation, saying, "In him all things were created." And then it sings of Christ sustaining God's good creation. "In him all things hold together." And finally, wonderfully, in this very early hymn, we sing of Christ reconciling to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All things. Those two words repeat and ring throughout this entire reading. Christ is King over all things, creating, sustaining, and reconciling us all. From the church's earliest days, this has been our belief. And my friends, as we face the challenges that are before the world today, challenges that show so clearly how far we have fallen from that loving, harmonious life we were created for, this promise that Christ reigns, and that Christ is bringing life to all things, it truly is a beacon of hope for us. Now, as followers of Jesus, we know well that we're not meant to just take that good news and sit on it, hiding it away as we wait for God to sort everything out. We know that Jesus has called and commissioned each of us to take up our parts in God's restoring and reconciling work in this world. So it's not enough just to hear the Spirit of God calling us to love God, love others, and love ourselves. As we listen, we must also hear the Holy Spirit calling us to actively and intentionally love God's good creation, and to do that by caring for it and stewarding it in the way that God originally asked us to. My friends, caring for the earth and caring about the earth is not simply a secular concern. It's always been meant to be a central aspect of the life of Jesus' followers. So first and foremost, I hope that you will walk away from today clear that far from being a worldly concern, caring for this earth is an essential part of our discipleship. And because it is, caring for creation is also not just the concern of those who are particularly passionate about it. Since the very beginning, it's been meant to be the concern of all of us. Because as I said at the beginning, despite what we may think, those four broken relationships, they don't exist as separate individual entities. They never have. By God's design, they're all connected. They're woven together. So what impacts one impacts others. As we discover God's love for us and show our love for Him, we find ourselves being drawn into living in more loving ways all around. So in our love for God, we actually feel led to care for this world He's created. And by God's design, loving creation doesn't just impact the plants and the animals, the oceans, the land. It also impacts our fellow humans, our neighbors, our children. Loving and caring for the earth is a way we must love our neighbors, especially those neighbors whose lives and homes are increasingly at risk from drought or flooding or fires, storms of any kind. And loving and caring for the earth is a way that we must love our children, generations who come after us, who are even now bearing the crippling burden of anxiety about what kind of world they're going to inherit from us. So in loving God and loving the earth, we're also loving others in these incredibly life-giving and tangible ways. It's all connected together, all four of those relationships. Even that last one, loving ourselves rightly. Loving and caring for the earth is a really important way that we can care for ourselves. Yes, it ensures that we can enjoy a life on this planet that is sustainable, but it also does more than that. As we love and care for the earth, we sometimes get little glimpses of the life we can look forward to in a new and renewed creation. You know, one of the bright spots for me in the pandemic came in those early months of it, when life had so suddenly and dramatically slowed down because we all went home and stayed there. In those first weeks, there was this sense that maybe, just maybe, in that quiet time, the earth might actually be healing a bit. People were talking about it, not just people of faith. It felt like there was more oxygen in the air. There was certainly much more wildlife around. And everything just kind of seemed to be more alive. Maybe it was just imagination, but I don't think so. It was almost as if you could feel the earth catching its breath for just a moment. And man, did it feel good. I remember one day Simon and I were out in our field. We were watching a Canada goose sit on her nest while her mate kept guard close by. And it was quiet. There wasn't the usual hum of traffic in the distance. There was just this peace, this sense of fresh life. It made me think about that bit from Genesis that talks about God coming to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. It was a moment I hope I always remember, and a moment I treasure, It was good for our souls. And I wonder if it was maybe a momentary vision, a vision of what life will be like when God's work of restoration and renewal in this world is finally complete. I really hope so. You know, I have no doubt that we could probably leave this service today and have a rousing discussion about climate change and about whether it's really as big a deal as we're hearing that it is. But honestly and personally, I'm really not interested in doing that. Not because I'm wanting to avoid a conflict, but simply because I think conflicts like that among Christians are a waste of precious energy. Even worse, they can really be a dangerous distraction for us. Whether you agree with the claims the scientific community is making about the damage being done to the Earth or not, the simple truth for us as people who are trying to faithfully follow Jesus is that we are now, and always have been, called to be people who are truly made in the image of God, which means that we are people whose lives actually reflect the love and concern God has for all things in this beautiful world that He has created. And we do that, we reflect that love and concern, not because we're afraid, but simply because doing so is the life that we're called to. It's the life we've always been called to. And as I say here, nearly every week, I think, it is also the life that we have been created for since the beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
For our prayers for today, I invite you to join me in a responsive prayer. When I pray, God, in your grace, if you would respond, transform the world. God of grace, together we turn to you in prayer, for it is you who unite us. You are the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom we believe. You alone empower us for good. You send us out across the earth in mission and service in the name of Christ. So God, today we pray that you might hear the cries of all creation, the cries of the waters, the air, the land, and all living things, the cries of all who are exploited, marginalized, abused, and victimized, all who are dispossessed and silenced, their humanity ignored, all who suffer from any form of disease, from war, and from the crimes of the arrogant who hide from the truth, distort memory, and deny the possibility of reconciliation. God, guide all holding positions of authority towards decisions steeped in moral integrity. God, in your grace, transform the world. We give thanks for your blessings and signs of hope that are already present in the world, in people of all ages, and in those who have gone before us in the faith, in movements to overcome violence in all its forms, not just for a decade, but for always, in the deep and open dialogues that have begun both within our own churches and with those of other faiths, in the search for mutual understanding and respect, in all those working together for justice and peace, both in exceptional circumstances and every day. We thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ and the assurance of resurrection. God, in your grace, transform the world. And we pray today that we might begin to see signs of hope and movement in a good direction in our stewardship of this earth. We pray for all those gathered in Egypt for COP27. We ask that your Spirit would be hovering over that gathering, inspiring, encouraging, emboldening all involved, and showing a way to real progress in the efforts to curb our damage to the earth. Bring the world together in this, God, and make us determined to strive to live in ways that bring healing and life to all of your good creation. God, in your grace, transform the world. By the power and guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, may our prayers never be empty words, but an urgent response to your living word. Open our hearts to love and to see that all people are made in your image, to care for creation and to affirm life in all its wondrous diversity. Transform us in the offering of ourselves so that we may be your partners in transformation, to strive for the full visible unity of the one Church of Jesus Christ, to become neighbors to all as we await with eager longing the full revelation of your wonderful rule in the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. God, in your grace, transform the world. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For all the ways that you give to the mission and work of God through St. Stephen's, we give you great thanks. Would you pray with me the prayer over the offerings this week? Gracious and creating God, on our own, what we each have to give doesn't amount to much in the light of all you have given to us and in the face of so much need. Put together as a congregation, what we offer you here in love becomes more, not simply added together, but somehow multiplied in its usefulness. So we ask you to bless our gifts, and that with the addition of your blessing, these gifts might be part of your transforming work in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before we go today, I just want to take a couple of minutes to thank everyone who was involved in making our fall supper last weekend a possibility. We had a wonderful time together last Saturday, ate a lovely turkey dinner, and enjoyed a sing-along. And there were lots of people that made that happen. So I just want to say a great big thank you to all of them. It was a wonderful time of fellowship, and it was so good just to be able to be together like that again. So thank you. Also, a reminder that we are still in the midst of our fall fundraiser from November 1st through to the 15th. We are asking people to take some time out to prayerfully consider if they might feel led to give a little bit extra to the church this year. As you know, we are running a bit of a deficit as we crawl our way out of the last 3 years, and we are appreciative of anything people are able to give to help us to bring things back up to a balanced budget. So if you are feeling led to do that, we'd like to thank you for prayerfully considering it, and thank you for anything that you are able to give. We will let you know in a couple of weeks how we're doing. Friends, may you always walk gently upon the earth in right relationship, nurtured by God's love and open to the wind of the Spirit. May you take only what you need, remaining open to the needs of others and making choices that will bring well-being to all. May you live with generosity, striving for justice, honoring all with reverence, reconciling and peacemaking, and remaining ever mindful of those who will come after us. And mostly, may you always recognize your vital and very good place as part of God's good creation. And now, as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
Feel the thundering breakers roar. to a river out, watering the earth. Fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of all.